Leaving while pregnant, he goes crazy. Chapter 131. Doesn't mean you can lie to me freely. Seeing him, Vivian was first startled, then showed a pleased expression and walked towards Adrian after getting off the sickbed. Adrian, why did you suddenly come? How is Grandma's condition? Was the surgery successful? However, when she reached Adrian, she found that his face was pale and his eyes were cold. Thinking about Julia and Alexander's matter, Vivian felt guilty in her heart, but she dared not show it at all. She couldn't lose her composure at this time. At this moment, she needed to calm down even more. Absolutely cannot let Adrian see her problems. Adrian's voice was indifferent. Grandma is fine, what about you? What? Vivian's heart skipped a beat, thinking she misheard. Did Adrian just ask about her? What about your friends? Adrian looked around the hospital room. Do you know where they went? Not very sure. Vivian shook her head and lightly bit her lower lip. I went out earlier. They probably went to look for me. Is that so? Vivian wasn't sure what he meant. She thought Adrian would say something when she exposed herself earlier, but he remained silent. But his gaze made her scalp tingle. For the first time, Vivian felt that Adrian was not the familiar man she knew. He could also use this vigilant and probing gaze to scrutinize her. No. How could it be like this? Vivian felt extremely uncomfortable in her heart. She couldn't bear for Adrian to look at her with such eyes, so she could only ask in a soft voice, "What's wrong with you? Did something happen? I'm sorry, is it because I wanted to sneak over to see Grandma that you are angry?" As she spoke, Vivian reached out and gently tugged Adrian's clothes corner, her voice soft and gentle. "Adrian, don't be angry with me, okay?" Adrian lowered his gaze, looking at the hand resting on his clothes corner, and slowly pulled her hand away. After Vivian's hand was pulled away, she stumbled and almost couldn't stand still. "I'll ask you again, do you really not know where they went?" Adrian asked. "I really don't know." Vivian shook her head. "Adrian, what are you looking for them for? Did they do something to make you unhappy again? If they did, I can call them and scold them right now. Don't be angry." Normally, Adrian would probably think that this kind of Vivian was pitiful. If he continued speaking, it would be really forceful. But this time, he really crossed his bottom line. They actually dared to do something to Eva. Thinking of this, Adrian sneered. "They did indeed make me unhappy. If you want to scold them, do it in front of me." Hearing this, Vivian was shocked. She probably didn't expect Adrian to be so direct. After a moment of silence, Vivian could only ask, "Then, can I? Who should I call?" Adrian's eyes flashed with a hint of mockery. "What do you think?" Vivian's face turned pale. "I don't understand what you mean." Facing Adrian's questioning, although Vivian was nervous and afraid, she was also very excited. Adrian's angry suspicion and interrogation, "What does this mean?" It means that Eva might have really lost the baby. Regardless of Adrian feeling guilty or sorry for Eva losing the baby, this hidden danger has finally been eliminated. Adrian is not going to divorce her just because she lost a child. The more she thought about it, the more Vivian felt that she had made the right choice this time. Julia's temper has always been bad. In other words, she is very foolish. She often confuses right and wrong, which makes her an easy target for manipulation. That's why Vivian always kept her around for this purpose. Unexpectedly, one day, it really came in handy. And Alexander, since he likes her so much and is willing to endure some pain for her, he must be willing to do so himself, right? Don't understand. Adrian's narrowed eyes were cold and chilling, his icy fingers pinching her chin. "Vivian, you saved my life, so I have always trusted you and regarded you as an important person. but that doesn't mean you can lie to me at will. He exerted some force in his hand, and Vivian clearly felt the pain. In that instant, aside from his icy fingers, Vivian also clearly sensed the deep and heavy hostility emanating from him. This was something that had never happened before. Vivian couldn't believe that Adrian would treat her like this. Didn't he always trust her? Why did he become like this? Her heart ached, and hot tears flowed from Vivian's eyes. In less than 5 seconds, Vivian was reduced to a crying mess. Adrian, I don't understand what you're saying at all. When did I lie? What did I lie about? If you're referring to me visiting my grandmother without your consent, I have already apologized to you for that. And at that time, I had no intention of letting anyone know, I didn't even tell anyone when I went out. Even if I secretly went and came back, is that not allowed? Adrian, I really don't know what I did wrong. Vivian bit her lower lip, her voice choked with tears. Seeing her like this, Adrian's brows slightly furrowed. Could it be that he misunderstood her? With this in mind, Adrian let go of her hand and calmly explained what Julia and Alexander had done. Initially, Vivian was still upset because of his accusation of lying, but after hearing his words, she stood frozen in place, shocked. For a long time, she stared at him in disbelief, then reached out to wipe away the tears from the corner of her eyes, anxiously grabbing Adrian's arm. I'm sorry, I had no idea about this. How is Eva now? Is she okay? Before the words were finished, Vivian let go of Adrian's hand and walked barefoot towards the door, saying as she walked, I'll go and check on her. Wait. After taking only a few steps, Vivian was called back by Adrian. She had to stop and turn around to look at Adrian. Sorry, I seemed a little impatient. I'm sorry, I was just worried about Eva and didn't expect something like this to happen. Adrian, let's go see her together, okay? Thinking that Michael was taking care of Eva at the hospital, Adrian's expression became a little unpleasant. No need, she is being taken care of, resting at the hospital now. Upon hearing this, Vivian said, that's good, but how is she? Does she have any injuries? I'm really sorry about all this, I didn't expect Julia and that Alexander to do such a thing. As she said these words, Adrian's gaze remained fixed on her, not missing any expression on her face. After she finished asking, he spoke in a deep voice, for now, it doesn't seem serious, we will have to wait for further examination. Upon hearing this, Vivian paused, she hasn't been examined yet. Chapter 132 You actually don't believe me. What does that mean? Hasn't been examined yet? So, does that mean she's fine? Only if she's fine, she won't go for a checkup. The most important thing is, if she miscarries, there will be bleeding, and the situation will be very serious. She had a checkup. However, Adrian's voice brought Vivian back to her senses. Vivian felt her scalp go numb. She had a checkup, but nothing was wrong, so. Does Adrian now know that she's pregnant? Then. Have he and Eva already made up and know that she deleted his text message? If discovered, what would he do to her? Vivian started feeling chills down her spine, as if she was in an ice cave. Adrian didn't let any emotions show on her face. He noticed that Vivian's expression was off after he mentioned the checkup. His narrow eyes narrowed dangerously. What? She didn't go for a checkup, and you're worried. Upon hearing this, Vivian snapped back to reality and forced a smile. Of course, I'm worried. After all, this matter was done by Julia and Alexander together. Julia usually gets close to me, so I also have a responsibility. No, she can't lose control. Even though she had a checkup, it doesn't necessarily mean they would find out about her pregnancy. At least, until Adrian directly sentenced her to death, she needed to stay calm. You do have a responsibility. I warned you last time not to let her come again, didn't I? Vivian was surprised. Did you forget? Oh no. Vivian didn't even consider this aspect. She knew Julia had offended Adrian, so she tried to keep her away whenever Adrian came to the hospital. But Adrian didn't come to the hospital those days, so Vivian didn't bother with Julia. If Julia wanted to come, she could. After all, Vivian still needs to use her. Adrian, I'm sorry. I didn't forget. I just thought that she had such a close relationship with me for so many years, and I was injured again. She just wanted to come and see me. I couldn't refuse her. And that day, I thought she was just impatient, so I argued with Eva. I didn't expect her to go as far as kidnapping. Don't worry, her heart is so evil, I won't have any further dealings with her. After Vivian said a bunch of words to express her loyalty, she realized that Adrian's gaze towards her was still the same as before. Her heart felt colder. Adrian, why are you looking at me like this? Don't you believe me? Adrian's thin lips almost became a straight line, without answering. Vivian looked into his eyes for a moment and then laughed at herself. So, you actually don't believe me? Only then did Adrian spit out a sentence. If you want to make a move on Eva, it can only happen if I'm not around her. Since that moment is missing, I was forced to come find you to make Eva vulnerable. The time Eva got into trouble coincides with the time you disappeared. It all matches. Vivian, I have said, you saved my life, so I don't want to doubt you. If you did this, admit it earlier. Admit what? Vivian smiled bitterly, do I have to admit to things I didn't do? You said I called you away and left Eva alone, but doesn't she have Kim and Margaret by her side? Did I somehow know she would leave them and come out? At this point, Vivian started to cry again. In fact, you just don't trust me. You think the timing of my disappearance is too coincidental, but I didn't deliberately choose that time. When Grandma entered the operating room, I just wanted to take a look in secret. Yes, Adrian said calmly, it was indeed the time when Grandma entered the operating room, and you knew perfectly well that it was the perfect time to cover up what you did. Upon hearing this, Vivian's smile instantly turned pale, and her frail body stood still, on the verge of collapse. So, you've already convicted me in your heart, you don't trust me at all. Adrian, why don't you trust me? Just because I deliberately hurt myself last time to save face, do you think I'm the kind of wicked woman who would do anything? Adrian squinted his eyes. So, you finally admit it. You deliberately hurt yourself last time. Vivian trembled, I already admitted it last time, didn't I? I owned up to what I did, but if it's something I didn't do, why should I admit it? We've known each other for so many years, and I've never framed anyone just to save face. I've only hurt myself. I even risked my life to save you before. Eva is someone you cherish, and she even pretended to marry you to take care of Grandma and make her feel at ease with the surgery. I only feel grateful for her. How could I possibly harm Eva? It has to be said that these words moved Adrian. Because she did indeed risk her life to save him. If luck had been bad that day, she might have died in the river. If she were really such a malicious and selfish person, she wouldn't have jumped in to save him. The fact that she risked her life to save him was still a soft spot in his heart, and Adrian couldn't bring himself to accuse her. Thinking this, Adrian could only take out a handkerchief and hand it to her. Sorry, I was a little impatient earlier. Vivian stood still and didn't move. Her tears continued to fall. By all accounts, she was crying like this, if he felt guilty, he should have come forward and wiped her tears. But now, doesn't he even have this bit of patience for her? He only handed her a handkerchief and nothing more? In the end, he still didn't trust her, right? Vivian was furious. She had originally planned to wait for this whole incident to pass, knowing that Adrian would surely have some suspicions about her, so she could only use the fact that she had saved him again. He would definitely soften his heart toward her. And she was right, when she brought up that incident, he did indeed soften his heart toward her. However, the child in Eva's womb is still alive. None of the things were accomplished, instead she used another favor for saving her life. It was fine to use the favor a few times, but as time goes on, if she keeps mentioning it, maybe Adrian will lose any goodwill he had towards her because of it. Thinking of this, Vivian couldn't help but feel scared. After realizing this, she dared not to make any more trouble. She took Adrian's handkerchief, wiped away her tears in a helpless manner, and softly said, "Adrian, it doesn't matter if others think that I intentionally set up Eva, I can ignore it. But if you also misunderstand me like everyone else." Vivian lowered her gaze and spoke with a defeated expression, "Furthermore, my face is already disfigured now. If you still don't believe me, then I really don't know what meaning there is for me to continue living." Chapter 133 Striving for an Early Release from the Police Station. Let me go. I am not his accomplice. He planned everything alone. You have misunderstood the good person, Julia struggled and screamed continuously. It had been a few hours since she was arrested. She thought that once everything was cleared up, she might be released. But she was wrong. From the moment she entered until now, there was no sign of being let out. Not only that, but Alexander, who was next to her, surprisingly had a look of resignation without any resistance. Not only did he not resist himself, he also admitted to conspiring with Julia. "Let me ask you again, did you conspire with this lady named Julia on this kidnapping case?" Alexander nodded, "Yes." "Besides her, were there any other people involved?" Hearing this question, Vivian's name instinctively flashed through Julia's mind. But before she could react, Alexander had already denied it. "No, it was just the two of us." Hearing this, Julia turned her head in disbelief, her eyes filled with shock. The interrogator's gaze slightly changed, then turned to Julia. "Miss Smith, is what he said true? Was this kidnapping case planned by you and him?" "No, he's lying. He did it all by himself, it has nothing to do with me," Julia anxiously replied. Seeing her agitated state and the temporary lack of progress in the questioning, the police on the other side ordered them to be separated and held in custody until they could be individually interrogated. The two of them were quickly taken away. Before leaving, Julia kept shouting, "I want to see Vivian. Vivian is my friend, she can testify for me." Alexander did this alone. When he said he wanted to seek revenge on Eva, we were all present. The police obtained new information and quickly started investigating. At the same time, Eva lay asleep on the hospital bed. Although she had been given medication, her emotions had been too tense throughout the day. So, after relaxing, she fell into a deep sleep. Michael stood by the bedside, gently looking at Eva while she slept. After a moment, he bent down and tucked the covers for her. Then he stood up and called a nurse to administer an IV drip. While the nurse was administering the drip, Michael stood by, patiently waiting. After the nurse finished, he warmed Eva's hands in his palms and gently placed them back under the blankets. The nurse noticed Michael's tall and slender figure, as well as his handsome appearance. When he came in carrying Eva earlier, it caused quite a stir among the nurses in the hospital. They were discussing how a particularly handsome man had come in, carrying a beautiful girl. Her hair cascaded like a waterfall, and she had a soft waist, resembling a character from a romantic drama. After their shifts, many people secretly came to take a glimpse. And to make things more exciting, another man had also come. What was even more stimulating was that the new man was also very handsome, with perfect facial features and a great physique. Two handsome men, one warm and gentle, the other cold and beautiful, attracted a lot of attention. In their eyes, the two men were evenly matched. Moreover, according to insiders, these two men were both influential figures in high-level circles, which made them even more admired. Taking a secret glance, the nurse averted her gaze, but couldn't help but speak up, "Sir, you are so good to your girlfriend." Upon hearing this, Michael's movements paused for a moment, and after a while, a faint smile appeared on his lips as he turned to look at her and explained, "Although she is not my girlfriend yet, thank you for your congratulations. I will strive to make her agree to be my girlfriend soon." These words instantly made the nurse incredibly envious of Eva. She was not even his girlfriend yet, but he was treating her so well. And he was so gentle, speaking softly when explaining and thanking her for her congratulations. How could there be such a gentle person in the world? Lost in her thoughts, the nurse was suddenly interrupted as the door to the ward was pushed open. Adrian, with his tall figure, walked in, still carrying the cold air from outside. His handsome face was almost frozen with a cold and indifferent expression. As soon as he entered the ward, his gaze fell upon the woman lying on the hospital bed. After looking around, his eyes eventually landed on Michael. After a while, he said coldly, "I am here to take her home." "Home?" Hearing this word, the nurse was secretly surprised. They even used the word home. Could it be that these two are really a couple? Facing Adrian's straightforward statement, Michael remained calm and gentle as he replied, "If you want to take her home, you can, but we still have to wait until she wakes up and rests properly." Adrian's face turned ashen. Before coming in just now, he had overheard what Michael had said to the nurse. Impulsively, he wanted to go straight up and carry Eva home, but reason told him that if he did so, it would definitely affect her rest. But he couldn't leave her here and trust Michael to take care of her. It would be fine if she continued to sleep obediently until he came to fetch her. But what if she woke up in the meantime and Michael said something inappropriate in front of her? Thinking of this, Adrian stopped overthinking and pulled up a chair to sit on the other side of the hospital bed, face to face with Michael. It was impossible for him to go back, especially since this man in front of him was eyeing her. And so, the two handsome men sat facing each other around the small hospital bed, much to the surprise of the nurse who hadn't expected to witness this. She couldn't help but think she hit the jackpot. If it wasn't for her work, she would have stayed to see how things would develop. Unfortunately, she had to go and attend to her duties. After bidding farewell, the nurse left the ward. Once the nurse was gone, there were only three people left in the ward. The room remained quiet, and the gazes of the two men locked in a silent battle while Eva lay on the hospital bed, sleeping peacefully, unaffected by their conversation. After a while, Michael suddenly smiled at Adrian and softly asked, "How are things going?" What did he ask? His thin lips pursed, expressing displeasure. "This matter has nothing to do with her." This result seemed unsurprising to Michael. He quirked his lips. "It seems that people are always indulgent and blind when it comes to the things and people they love, wouldn't you agree, Adrian?" Adrian looked at him, displeased. "What do you mean to say?" "Nothing, I just thought that you always cared about Vivian. I had anticipated this result. However, Adrian, I had already warned you before that I would personally investigate this matter. It would be best if it had nothing to do with her, otherwise it might hurt our relationship." His words implied that if it was found to be related to Vivian, he would deal with her. "Are you defending Eva?" Michael retorted, "Of course, if you like someone, you defend them, don't you? Just like you are defending Vivian now." Adrian's eyebrows furrowed at these words. "When did I defend her?" Chapter 134. "I'll wear it for you." Michael chuckled lightly. "Adrian, I didn't mean to blame you. I understand why you stood up for Vivian. After all, your feelings for her are just like mine for Eva. It's only natural to defend her." Adrian frowned and clenched his lips. He could tell that almost every sentence Michael spoke revolved around Vivian, always trying to connect him with her while distancing himself from Eva. He was subtly trying to exclude him from Eva's life. As this thought crossed his mind, a hint of resentment flickered in Adrian's eyes. He lightly bit down on his back teeth, his voice carrying a hint of gritted teeth. But unfortunately, he couldn't utter a single retort at this moment. After a while, Michael seemed to realize something and said, "Sorry, did I speak too frankly just now?" Adrian remained silent. For the many years that they had been friends, this was the first time Adrian felt such intense anger towards Michael. Eva had a dream. She dreamt of being in a hospital room, with Adrian and Michael sitting on either side of her bed, seemingly engaged in a heated argument. She could vaguely see their expressions, but couldn't hear what they were saying at all. So she had to rely on their lip movements to try and decipher their conversation. However, it was futile, she couldn't make out a single word. In the end, she had to give up. But when she woke up, she realized that her dream had overlapped with reality. Because as soon as she opened her eyes, she saw two people sitting by her bedside, one on each side, both of them looking at her face. Eva paused for a moment, then closed her eyes again. Perhaps she had dreamt too much, that's why she couldn't distinguish between the dream and reality. Adrian noticed that she was clearly awake, but to his surprise, after glancing at him, she closed her eyes again. An icy frost formed on his face. Did she not want to see him? Michael, however, smiled and playfully said to Eva, "Little girl, wake up and get up, stop pretending to sleep." The affectionate tone and address made Adrian even more irritated. But to his surprise, Eva actually listened to his words and opened her eyes. Adrian confirmed that the scene before him was real and not just another dream. Eva covered her head and sat up. "Why are you all here?" She thought the scene she dreamt of was fake, but it turned out to be real. Eva was confused, but if it was a dream, why did she wake up in the middle of it? She remembered that Adrian wasn't here before she fell asleep. "We were worried about you," Michael said softly. Before he could finish his sentence, Adrian's almost rough voice interrupted. "If you're awake, let's go home." Eva turned her head slowly towards Adrian, her expression filled with confusion. "Go home." Her perplexed tone worsened Adrian's mood, but because Michael was there, Adrian suppressed his anger and didn't explode. "Don't you want to see your grandmother anymore?" When Eva mentioned her grandmother, she immediately fell silent, as if something had caught her throat. Meanwhile, Michael had already fetched her coat and cell phone. "Here, Eva's things." Adrian looked at the things Michael handed over, his expression turning extremely unpleasant. However, he didn't say anything and reached out to take them. Sometimes, Adrian really couldn't understand Michael. He admitted his intentions towards Eva, but now he didn't even oppose him bringing her back home. He even considerately brought her belongings. But soon, Adrian understood Michael's intentions. After he handed over the items, Eva gratefully said thank you to him. Michael responded with an indulgent smile. "No need to thank me. Rest well when you get home. Adrian's eyes towards Michael suddenly filled with speechlessness. How come he never noticed before that Michael was so good at flirting? But Adrian couldn't be bothered with him anymore. Instead, he walked over to Eva with her coat in hand. Eva was about to take the coat and put it on herself, but Adrian opened her hand instead. Eva was puzzled. She didn't expect Adrian to say the next second, "I'll help you put it on." For what reason would he help her put on her clothes when everything was perfectly fine? Couldn't she do it herself? However, before she could react, Adrian coldly commanded, "Extend your hand." Eva wanted to refuse, after all, Michael was still in the hospital room, and he knew that they were on the brink of divorce. After all, her grandmother's surgery had been successful. At the same time, It also meant that her relationship with Adrian had reached its end. At a time like this, there was no need to put on an act, right? But faced with Adrian's dark gaze, Eva ultimately couldn't say the word no. So, she slowly raised her hand under the gaze of the two men, allowing Adrian to bend down and help her put on the coat. The coat had been lying separately for a while, so it was quite cold when she put it on. The chilly feeling enveloped her. Reacting to this, Eva shrank a little due to her physical response. Upon seeing this, Adrian's movements paused for a moment, then he took off the coat for her. Eva wondered, what is happening now? Afterward, Adrian threw her coat to the side and began taking off his own jacket. Before she could think it through, Adrian had already placed his discarded jacket over her. The jacket carried Adrian's warmth, making it feel cozy. Once Eva realized what Adrian had done, she stood frozen in place. So, did he take off his jacket and give it to me because I shrank a little just now? Lost in thought, Eva reached out and got off the bed. But as soon as her feet touched the ground, Adrian scooped her up in his arms. Instinctively, Eva reached out and wrapped her arms around his neck. This scene caused Michael's eyes, hidden behind his glasses, deep. He looked a little gloomy, but his expression remained unchanged, seemingly unaffected. After Adrian picked her up, he couldn't hold anything with his hands, so he said to Brent, who had been waiting outside, "Brent, come in and get something." Brent, who was standing outside, heard Adrian call his name and thought to himself that he finally had a chance to be useful, so he rushed in to help carry Eva's things. In front of Michael, Adrian tightened his arms around Eva, and looked at Michael, saying, "Let's go." Michael nodded with a smile. "I won't see you off then, take care on the way." He seemed to be a close friend of the two, as if the man who had just clashed with Adrian was not him. Adrian glanced at him, then looked away, and then left while holding Eva. Before leaving, Eva turned around and met eyes with Michael. He nodded at her, and only then did she withdraw her gaze. Hopefully, Michael will fulfill the promise he made to her, right? Lost in thought, Eva felt her chest vibrate with Adrian's breath, and then she heard him say, "What's wrong?" Reluctant to leave. Chapter 135. Hold on, don't let go. Va regained her senses and then shook her head quietly. Her hand was still hanging on Adrian's neck. After thinking for a moment, Eva withdrew her hand. As soon as she moved, Adrian coldly said, "Hold on." To be honest, Eva didn't want to comply. Adrian probably noticed her intentions, so when she was about to let go, he deliberately loosened his grip on her hand. Almost as a reflex, Eva tightly clasped Adrian's neck. Her wrist was soft, and her fair skin formed a sharp contrast against his neck. After realizing what she had just done, Eva's expression changed. Sensing the smoothness of her skin, Adrian's lips curled up slightly. "Hold on, don't let go." This time, Eva didn't let go, but she fell into her own thoughts, occasionally glancing at Adrian. Walking while holding her, Adrian effortlessly moved with steady breathing and steps. From her perspective, she could see Adrian's smooth and delicate jawline, as well as his lips that still had a slight curl. She couldn't understand if she had already given up on him today because he didn't answer her call. No. It should be even earlier. Then what did Adrian's actions mean now? Did he even know what he was doing? Both of them were already getting divorced, yet he was still teasing her like this. Brent followed behind while holding something, and when he saw Adrian holding Eva, he couldn't hide his smile. This truly was a perfect match. Adrian finally came to his senses and directly called him over to bring something, and he even knew to hold Ms. Hansen while coming out. Hopefully, Adrian would cut off ties with that woman named Vivian in the future. He didn't want the Blackwood family to suddenly have a new mistress. Brent placed the things in the car, waved goodbye to Adrian and Eva, and watched them leave. On the way back, the car's air conditioning was on, and the temperature was much warmer than outside. Eva was wrapped in Adrian's coat, sitting quietly. The car was warm and cozy, making one feel drowsy. After sitting for a while, Eva started to feel sleepy. She was about to lean against the seat and rest her eyes for a bit when Adrian in the driver's seat spoke. "What do you think of Michael?" Hearing him speak to her, Eva's drowsiness decreased by half, and she turned to look at him. "What?" Adrian's thin lips twitched, and he said coldly, "He saved you. Are you grateful to him?" "Grateful?" Eva didn't think much and nodded. "Naturally. Michael arrived there and saved her, then took her to the hospital for a checkup. He had been taking care of her attentively during that time. And most importantly, he learned about her pregnancy news, but because she didn't want to tell Adrian, she chose to help her." The respect and understanding made Eva extremely grateful. Seeing that she admitted almost without any hesitation, Adrian's brows furrowed harshly. "Do you really like him?" Eva thought she heard a big joke and squinted at him. "What does my gratitude have to do with liking someone?" Adrian pursed his lips and impulsively said, "If you don't like him, would you let him stay by your hospital bed? And sleep so soundly for such a long time, not afraid that someone else might have ulterior motives towards you?" Upon hearing this, Eva understood everything. No wonder he acted so strangely in front of Michael today. So he misunderstood that she liked Michael? I see. She thought he was teasing her, turns out she was just being imaginative. With this in mind, Eva closed her eyes and responded unreservedly, "He saved me, but for the time being, I won't have any other feelings towards him besides gratitude." "You don't need to worry about that, after all, there are only a few people like you." With that, the car fell silent. Eva suddenly felt like she may have gone too far with her words. But then she thought, if he can speculate about her and Michael, then there shouldn't be a problem with her saying a few things about him. If he wants to get angry, then let him get angry. Anyway, Grandma's surgery is already over, so she doesn't have much to worry about. Sure enough, Adrian remained silent for the rest of the journey, not saying a word. He escorted her back home. After parking, Eva didn't rush to get out of the car, but asked, "How is Grandma's condition now?" Adrian stayed quiet for a moment, then said, "It's fine." "That's good. How long does she need to be observed?" 48 hours. After this number was mentioned, both of them fell into silence for a long time. At this moment, they both thought of the same thing. Then, Eva looked at Adrian and whispered, "48 hours is a bit rushed. How about 3 days later?" Hearing this, Adrian looked at her. In the dimly lit car, Eva's expression was calm, and her pale lips gave her a sickly and fragile beauty. Adrian's lips remained straight. Just a while ago, she was still in his embrace, intimately hugging his neck. Now she's wearing his coat, but she's already discussing the day they will get divorced. He should agree. After all, they had already agreed that once Grandma's surgery was over, this fake marriage would come to an end. But for some reason, Adrian's heart secretly rebelled, as if there was a voice telling him not to get divorced. Once they get divorced, he will completely lose her. 3 days later, by then Grandma's condition should have stabilized. "Let's go get the divorce certificate first, and then let's wait a bit longer." Suddenly, Adrian interrupted her. Upon hearing this, Eva was stunned. "Wait a bit longer. What are you waiting for? He shouldn't be in a rush to divorce and be with Vivian, right?" "Well." Adrian's voice was hoarse and his eyes were dark. "Wait a little longer. Grandma needs time to recover after her surgery. If we divorce too soon, I'm worried it will be too much for her." Eva didn't say anything, she was deep in thought. Adrian's reasoning seemed reasonable, and there didn't seem to be any problem with waiting a little longer. What's wrong? Adrian asked when she remained silent for a while. The color in his eyes deepened. Can't you wait a few more days? Are you in a hurry? Hearing his words, Eva snapped out of her thoughts and shook her head. No, I think you're right. Let's wait a few more days. I didn't think it through, and Grandma does need time to recover. Her understanding attitude left Adrian speechless once again. It was as if she had genuinely considered the consequences and, out of rationality, agreed to postpone the divorce. This unfamiliar pain caused Adrian to pause, and a strange feeling spread from his chest. Chapter 136. Are you worried about me? His heart instantly felt numb, to the point where it tingled in his fingertips. Unable to hold back, Adrian let out a muffled groan and instinctively placed his hand on his chest. Eva heard his pained groan and looked over at him, only to find him leaning against the steering wheel with a pale expression. They had known each other for so many years, and Adrian had always been in good health, rarely falling ill. This was the first time she had seen him look so bad, so Eva was also startled and reached out to support him. What's wrong with you? Are you feeling unwell? The dull ache didn't subside. Instead, it intensified when Eva reached out to support him. The emptiness in his heart also grew larger. But when Adrian saw the genuine concern on Eva's pale face, the emptiness gradually got filled with another emotion. Seeing Adrian remain silent but continuously breaking out in a cold sweat on his forehead, looking like he was in extreme discomfort, Eva panicked and instinctively went to find her phone. I'll call an ambulance for you. However, before she could get hold of her phone, Adrian firmly grasped her wrist. His hand was hot and powerful, pressing onto her skin like fire. He held onto her wrist tightly and suddenly leaned towards her. Eva was startled, thinking that Adrian was feeling unwell and was about to lean on her. She quickly reached out to support him. Unexpectedly, Adrian leaned towards her until they were only a fraction of an inch away from each other's lips. In the dim light, she saw Adrian's pitch black and profound eyes. The pain made his breathing unstable. But despite this, Adrian firmly held onto her hand and placed it on his chest, as if this action could relieve the pain. Eva lowered her head and glanced at where her hand had landed, right on Adrian's heart. She could even feel Adrian's heart pounding violently. Eva had never seen Adrian like this before. What's going on with you? Seeing that he was clearly in pain, Eva's voice was filled with worry. What's the look of bitterness, but why is he so close to her? Adrian's Adam's apple rolled up and down, pursing his thin lips. Are you worried about me? Otherwise. He's like this, isn't it normal for her to worry about him? Eva didn't think there was anything wrong with Adrian asking this question, she just felt that his breath seemed more unstable. She worried that Adrian would have an accident, so she said, I should quickly call an ambulance. Don't. Adrian's voice was hoarse as he accused her, you're not really worried about me. Eva frowned at his words. What are you talking about? Okay, let go of my hand first, I'll call an ambulance. If you don't want to take the ambulance, then I'll take you to the hospital, all right. Adrian quietly looked at her, his eyes seemed to be confirming something. After a while, he slowly let go of her hands. Not going. With these words, he sat back in his seat, closed his eyes, and leaned against the chair. The dull pain in his heart just now felt incredibly real, but now it had eased somewhat, and the feeling of pain was gradually fading away. However, even so, Adrian's forehead was damp with cold sweat, and a few strands of black hair stuck to it. Seeing him leaning back in his seat, Eva couldn't help but furrow her brows. Not going to the hospital? You're in such discomfort, why not go? Even if I go, it won't help. Adrian said sullenly. Hearing this, Eva's brows furrowed even tighter. You haven't gone, how do you know it won't help? Do you know what the symptoms are? He didn't answer, hanging his eyes and leaning there. Having just experienced a bout of pain, he appeared somewhat downcast in the dimly lit environment, evoking a hint of pity. Eva didn't know why she had this thought. But honestly, Adrian's appearance just now really scared her. Even though she had known him for so many years, it was the first time she had seen him in such pain. Thinking of this, Eva suddenly squinted her eyes and stared at Adrian. "What's wrong with you? It's not some incurable disease, is it?" Adrian, who had been hanging his head, looked up at her in silence. "Incurable disease?" He sneered, "What? Are you hoping for my early death? Then why don't you want to go to the hospital?" Just a moment ago, he appeared to be in a lot of pain, but now he refuses to go to the hospital. Doesn't he find this behavior strange? Without waiting for his answer, Eva was about to continue questioning, but Adrian suddenly unlocked the car door and hoarsely said, "Get in." Eva wanted to say something to him, but seeing his sluggish expression and the look as if he didn't want to talk to her anymore, she suddenly lost interest. Well, even if Adrian's body really has a problem, it's not her, a soon-to-be divorced wife, who should care about him. Thinking of this, Eva's heart grew cold and she didn't say anything else. She unbuckled her seatbelt and prepared to get out of the car. "Wait." At this moment, Adrian called her back. After that, Eva turned around. Regretted. Wanted her to take him to the hospital again? In the next second, Adrian directly pressed the car key and coldly said, "I'll go with you." With that, he opened the car door and got out of the car. Eva didn't know what he wanted to do, so she had to follow him and get out of the car. After getting off the car, Eva noticed that Adrian had already walked around to her side and was waiting for her. After closing the car door for her, he approached her and picked her up horizontally. "No need." Eva instinctively refused. "No need for what?" Adrian glanced at her, his voice still a little rough, "You've just experienced something like that today, can you go up by yourself? It's just a few steps, of course, Eva doesn't think she can't go up by herself. Although her feet were injured." Julia's kick was heavy, even though there were no visible wounds on the surface, it hurt internally. She would need several days to recover from the pain. But there was no problem walking a short distance, just enduring the pain. The most important thing was that he looked so distressed just now, and now he's carrying her? "You should put me down, you just..." "Shut up." Adrian interrupted her displeasingly, "I'll take you up and then you can rest." Knowing that he was a stubborn person, Eva stopped talking and just hoped that this journey would end quickly in her heart. After Adrian sent her back to the room, he glanced at the wound on her leg and said, "If you need to take a shower, have the servants come up to help you." "Yes, I know." Eva nodded. Adrian looked at Eva sitting on the bed, who appeared quiet and well-behaved on the surface, but in his heart, it felt like a huge stone was pressing against him. After a long while, he finally spoke. "I'm sorry about today." Upon hearing this, Eva hesitated. She thought this matter could be skipped over. She didn't expect him to apologize voluntarily. "In the future, I will protect you." Chapter 137 Finding Excuses for Him. After saying this, Adrian silently repeated in his mind, "I won't let anyone lay a finger on her." Unexpectedly, Eva only smiled lightly after hearing his words. "It's okay, you were looking for someone. If I were you, I would have done the same. Everything was necessary." Upon hearing this, Adrian couldn't help but smile bitterly. What could he say? His wife is really generous and tactful, even at a time like this she's finding a way out for him. But her calm demeanor also indirectly implied another thing. "All right, I'm going to rest now." "You should rest early too." Afraid that things would become more awkward if they continued to talk, Eva decided to end the conversation herself. Upon hearing her say she wanted to rest, Adrian didn't say anything else. You rest first, I'll go out for a while. Eva paused and then nodded. Okay, be safe then. When Adrian left the Blackwoods villa and got back into the car, his eyes were deep with secrets. There seemed to be something weighing on his chest. The thing is stuck there. Even though such a big thing happened, she still talked to him politely and softly, as if she had no resentment towards him at all. She even came up with excuses for him not protecting her. Adrian would rather have her get angry at him like she used to, asking him why he ran out at that time. But, she probably won't do such a thing anymore. How did they end up like this? On the other hand, after Adrian left, Vivian immediately called her father and told him about what happened today, as well as Adrian's suspicion of her being involved with Julia. Ever since Vivian saved Adrian years ago and became the savior of the Blackwood family, the Morrison family has received many favors from the Blackwood family in the business world. The Morrison family, who used to struggle, could never reach a higher level after reaching a certain point, so Vivian's father has always been distressed about this. Unexpectedly, Vivian saved Adrian at this time, and for a moment, the whole upper-class society knew that the Morrison family became the benefactors of the Blackwood family. From then on, the Morrison family would be on good terms with the Blackwood family. The Morrison family also boarded a big ship from then on, and almost everyone who sought cooperation came knocking on their door. Those who used to hold grudges also came to reconcile. Afterwards, the Morrison family kept rising. Until today, the Morrison family has become one of the top five enterprises in New York. The previous Morrison family couldn't even make it into the top 20. Vivian's father is now in New York, feeling like a fish in water, respected by others, and even considering himself as Adrian's future father-in-law. So when he heard Adrian starting to suspect his daughter, he panicked and immediately dropped what he was doing to go see his daughter. When he saw his daughter in the hospital, with even a bruise on her forehead, he suddenly got angry. Vivian, what happened? How did you get hurt like this? Dad. Tears welled up in Vivian's eyes and she miserably threw herself into his arms. Her pitiful appearance made him feel heartbroken, and he comforted her for a while. Afterward, Vivian told him everything that had happened recently. I don't know what to do now, Dad. Adrian is starting to suspect me. Although I said that this matter has nothing to do with me at the time, he didn't blame me anymore, but I think after this, he may not treat me as well as before, Vivian said. Upon hearing this, Vivian's father comfortingly held his daughter's hand and whispered, Vivian, you don't have to worry too much about this. Regardless, you are Adrian's savior. As long as you remain his savior, he will never mistreat you. As long as she remained his savior, he would never mistreat her? Indeed, the Blackwood family placed great importance on this point, otherwise the Morrison family wouldn't have risen so quickly over the years. However, Vivian thought of another possibility, that is, if one day Adrian discovered his true savior was actually Eva and not herself. Given his personality, he might kill her. Just thinking about this possibility made Vivian break out in a cold sweat. Fortunately, at that time, there were no other witnesses besides Eva and Vivian. If a third person found out about this, she would be finished. Leave the matter of those two people to me. Don't worry about it, just make sure to please Adrian. Hearing the phrase please, Vivian felt a bit unhappy. Dad, what do you mean by please? The relationship between Adrian and me is equal. I am not like those women who try to please Adrian in order to gain a higher position. Yes, yes, of course our Vivian is the best. Adrian likes you more than anything. As he said this, he noticed the wound on Vivian's forehead. As for the wound on your forehead, Vivian, it's best for women not to have scars. Men, after all, primarily judge based on appearance. If you become ugly in the future, men will change their hearts. Upon mention of the wound on her forehead, Vivian began to feel insecure. "I understand, Dad. I will find a way to repair it." "All right, you rest first. Remember to pamper Adrian. Men like it when women act cute. If he is still angry, you will have to figure it out yourself. In any case, you must soothe him, understand?" After 48 hours of surgery, Granny Blackwood finally transferred from the intensive care unit to a regular ward. The Blackwood family, who had been keeping watch, finally breathed a sigh of relief. Eva rested at home for a day, and her leg was no longer as painful. However, when she initially wanted to go to the hospital, Adrian did not agree. Kim and Margaret, upon learning that she was injured, also disagreed, insisting that she rest at home for a day. "Your grandmother is in the intensive care unit now. Even if you go, you won't be able to see her. It's better to rest at home for a few more days, and then let Adrian bring you to the hospital when your grandmother is out of the intensive care unit." In the end, Eva was persuaded and agreed. But the next day, before 48 hours had passed, she already brought up the matter of going to the hospital to Adrian. At first, Adrian naturally disagreed, even furrowing his brows on the spot. "Is your leg injury healed? Or should you rest at home for a few more days?" Upon hearing this, Eva shook her head. "No need to rest, I want to visit Grandma now." She should have gone to the hospital on the day she returned, instead of delaying it until now. If it weren't for Kim and Margaret persuading her as well, Eva wouldn't have been so obedient. "Are you sure you want to go?" Eva pursed her lips and whispered, "If you're too busy to accompany me, then I'll go by myself." Adrian stayed silent for a long while, seemingly lost in thought, before suddenly agreeing. "Go change your clothes, I'll take you there now." A smile appeared on Eva's face. "Okay." Afterwards, she turned around and happily ran to change her clothes. However, due to her injured leg, her walking posture was a bit awkward. Upon seeing this, Adrian couldn't help but quirk up his lips. "Be careful, don't aggravate your leg injury." Chapter 138. You're the President's Wife. After arriving at the hospital, Eva looked at Granny Blackwood, who had recovered well, and felt very happy. She had been by her side, keeping her company. Seeing Eva's current appearance, Granny Blackwood thought she looked like a teenager, and her mood improved significantly. "Granny, are you thirsty? Does your wound hurt? Are you tired? Do you want to eat something, or perhaps sleep a little longer? Or if you can't sleep, shall I tell you a story?" Perhaps due to being too excited, Eva didn't notice the contradictory nature of her words. Granny Blackwood didn't point it out either. Instead, she said, "I'm not tired. Since Eva wants to tell me a story, I'll listen for a while before going to sleep." After that, Eva began telling Granny Blackwood various stories. Granny Blackwood listened with great interest, a kind smile on her lips. Margaret, who was listening to Eva's gentle voice beside them, couldn't help but admire her. The more she looked, the more she realized how great of a daughter-in-law she had. Because, if it were her, Margaret truly wasn't sure if she would have the patience to tell stories to the elderly like this, especially without a script, and still be able to speak so clearly. Finally, with Eva's gentle voice, Granny Blackwood fell asleep. After she had slept for a while, Eva stopped. She was just about to sit down at the edge of Granny Blackwood's bed for a while when she saw Margaret waving at her, seemingly wanting to talk to her. Eva followed her to the balcony of the hospital room. Margaret closed the glass door, blocking off the sound from both sides, then pulled Eva to sit on the balcony chairs. "How are you? Is your leg injury serious? I watched you walk earlier, and it seems to have improved." Eva nodded. "Yes, it has improved a lot." "That's good. If you're still uncomfortable, don't force yourself. Sit down and rest when you need to." "Okay, I will." "Oh, Here, take this. Margaret suddenly took out a card from her bag and pushed it in front of Eva. Seeing this bank card, Eva was stunned for a moment. Mom. Pocket money for you, Margaret said softly. No, thank you. Eva instinctively refused and pushed the card back. What do you mean no? You've been married to Adrian for so long and I've never given you any pocket money. What's wrong with giving you some now? Are you looking down on my money? Hearing this, Eva could only explain in a panic, it's not that. I have money. I work in a company and I get my salary every month. So you know it's a salary. Can a salary be the same as the pocket money I give you? Besides, you're not an employee of the Blackwood family, you're the president's wife. Upon hearing the title of the president's wife, Eva seemed a little embarrassed and smiled shyly. The president's wife? She probably won't be in a few days. And even now, she is still a fake president's wife. Take it. It's for you alone, Margaret said, pushing the bank card towards her again. Buy something you like. Girls at your age should spend more money on dressing themselves up. You, on the other hand, always dress too plainly. Thinking of this, Margaret had the image of Vivian, who had come to the hospital to secretly see Granny Blackwood the other day, in her mind. To tell the truth, the wound on her forehead looked really shocking, her face was extremely pale, and she was still wearing a patient's gown. Because she had rushed over, even her hair was messy. When she came with Adrian that day, she was just carefully cuddling up to him, not even touching the hem of his clothes. She looked pale and fragile, making her look pitiful. That appearance, probably many men would like and feel sorry for. And looking at Eva in front of her, Margaret couldn't help but sigh inwardly. It's not that Eva is bad, it's just that she is too strong, always solving things on her own. But Vivian. As a woman, how could she not see the affection Vivian had for her son? But Vivian was their Blackwood family's benefactor, so Margaret had to be polite to her on the surface. But this politeness was only limited to being a guest. If Vivian wanted to take Eva's position and replace her, she would be the first one to refuse. Dressing too plainly? Actually, before Margaret returned to the country, Eva's clothes were not plain. She has always loved beauty, and when the Hansen family had not gone bankrupt, her clothes, jewelry, and bags were all in line with the current fashion trends. The latest model, she is also a very close VIP customer of the brand, receiving specific gifts and invited to various events every year. After the Hansen family went bankrupt, she no longer had the thoughts and money to be high profile. Even if Adrian would give her money. However, Eva's eyes dimmed, not thinking about it anymore. Money, it's better to spend her own. She and Adrian were originally in a fake marriage, and if she keeps spending his money, she would indeed feel guilty. But on the surface, Eva still smiled and nodded in acceptance. Okay, I'll buy a few more sets then. Thank you, Mom. After saying that, Eva did not refuse any further and took the bank card. In her heart, she thought that after the divorce certificate was processed, she would give this bank card to Adrian and have him return it to his mother. With this thought in mind, Eva felt at ease accepting the bank card. Oh, by the way. However, Margaret, who had given her pocket money, did not intend to let her leave just like that. She mentioned the events of that day only after seeing her take the bank card. That day, it was Michael who saved you, right? Speaking of that day, Eva nodded, That's great, this child really cares. I heard that he planned to come and see you after hearing that your grandmother was having surgery, but instead saw you being taken away. At this point, Margaret couldn't help but sigh. Ah, fortunately he saw it, otherwise, we can't guarantee what would have happened later. Oh, right. Margaret's thoughts jumped around. Without waiting for her response, she continued with the next sentence. After that day, Did you get a comprehensive checkup? Another checkup. Eva's head would ache whenever she heard the word checkup now. Originally, she had hidden her pregnancy secret very well, but because of this uncontrollable incident, Michael had discovered it. Fortunately, Michael wanted to help Adrian and Vivian, otherwise, if he had told Adrian about this without her consent, then all the trouble would have fallen on her. I already had a checkup. Although she had already said that she had checked, Margaret clearly still wasn't reassured and whispered, "All right, when your grandmother has almost recovered in the next few days, I will accompany you to do another comprehensive check in this hospital. Don't let any problems be overlooked." In a few days? In a few days, she probably wouldn't be Mrs. Jean anymore. Eva nodded. Okay. Chapter 139. You're always considerate. However, Eva did not expect that Margaret's a few days would come earlier. Because just 2 days had passed, Margaret suddenly grabbed her excitedly and said, "Eva, let's do a checkup tomorrow." Suddenly hearing this news, Eva was stunned. "Mom, why did it suddenly change? Wasn't it supposed to wait for Grandma to recover for a few more days?" Margaret smiled and said, "Because your grandmother's recovery has been pretty good. The doctor said the situation is good, and these past couple of days, I heard that a very capable doctor is coming over. They will probably stay for a few days. You should take advantage of these days and get the examination done. We can show the results to the doctor then." Hearing this, Eva finally understood the reason why Margaret wanted her to get the examination done in advance. She could only awkwardly try to refuse, "Actually, it's just a regular examination. Generally, the machines can provide the results, and regular doctors can also interpret them. You're right, but there's an opportunity right in front of us. I have already talked to Grandma Blackwood in advance, telling her that we will do a checkup these past few days. She has agreed." Originally, Eva thought this method wouldn't work, but Margaret brought up Granny Blackwood, leaving Eva speechless. She didn't expect Margaret to have already taken care of things on Granny Blackwood's side as well. Her efficiency is really fast, isn't it? If she refuses now, will Margaret find her suspicious? After all, they are both women, so their thoughts should be similar. It seems that there is no way to refuse here. Eva can only think of another solution. So that night, when Adrian came from work to pick Eva up from the hospital, she took the initiative to bring up the matter on the way home. "I heard Grandma has been recovering well recently." With just one sentence, Adrian immediately understood what she wanted to express. He furrowed his brows and remained silent without responding to Eva's words. However, the change in his aura made Eva easily notice it. For some reason, Eva's heart sank along with it. She pondered on how to approach this matter with him. She didn't expect that at this moment, she still wanted to part ways with him on good terms. Although she would be raising the child alone in the future, it is likely that she would never see him again in her life. But at this moment, she still wanted to follow her true feelings. "What I mean is, we can keep it from Grandma for now, but we can try telling our parents. They are young and optimistic, so they should accept it quickly. What do you think?" He still didn't say anything. After a while, he finally spoke, "What's the reason?" Adrian's voice was cold, even colder than she had imagined, lacking any warmth. "Just say that we can't continue living together. Say that I'm the one who brought up the divorce, that should be enough." Upon hearing this, Adrian sneered, "So you've already thought of a reason so quickly, and you've thought about it so meticulously, planning to take all the blame on yourself." Hearing his words, Eva pursed her lips. She didn't want that, but he did help her when she went bankrupt, and now she wanted to leave with the child, so she felt guilty. Her current mindset is that as long as they can divorce, she is willing to take all the blame. Because dragging it on is just not beneficial for her. They are always together in daily life, and she doesn't know when she might be exposed. Thinking of this, Eva tugged at the corners of her mouth and forced a smile that was hard to maintain. "What I mean is, if I initiate the divorce myself, it won't affect you and anyone else afterward. Being together." Upon hearing this, Adrian suddenly turned the car at an intersection, and after the car made a sharp screeching sound, it came to a heart-stopping stop by the roadside. After Adrian stopped the car, he pressed his hand on the steering wheel and looked at her with a sinister gaze. "So, you really think about me everywhere, should I thank you, Eva?" Finally, he gritted his teeth as he called her name. Eva didn't want to say anything at first, but the words formed on her lips, "No need for thanks, if possible, shall we go to City Hall tomorrow?" This time, Adrian remained silent. He had been staring at her since earlier, with eyes burning like a torch, never leaving her even for a moment. Although he clearly heard himself speaking, he just wouldn't answer. Seeing his appearance, Eva felt a bit helpless. She couldn't understand what Adrian was thinking. Before, it was because of her grandmother's condition, so she had no choice. But these past few days, her grandmother had clearly been recovering well. It felt like Adrian was somehow reluctant to get a divorce. No, that couldn't be possible. He was probably eager to get a divorce so he could marry Vivian. If it weren't for her grandmother's illness, he would have probably married Vivian a long time ago during this time. After thinking this, Eva's heart turned cold and hard. She didn't look at him anymore, but turned her head to look ahead. "Well, it's decided then. Let's find a time to go to City Hall tomorrow." She made the decision herself. Adrian's face turned horribly ugly. After she turned away, he remained in the same position, not moving a muscle. The car stayed parked by the roadside without starting. The atmosphere in the car became extremely tense. After waiting for a long time and not seeing him start the car, Eva lightly furrowed her eyebrows. "Was he planning to stay here tonight? Aren't we leaving?" she asked. Still, she didn't receive a response from him. But his gaze remained fixed on her. Eva also didn't understand what Adrian was planning to do. Whatever, it didn't matter. After saying so much, she was tired too. If he didn't leave, she wouldn't either. They could just spend the night here. Thinking this, Eva stopped fretting about the issue and instead increased the temperature in the car by 2 degrees. Then she unbuttoned 2 buttons on her coat so she would have space to stretch when lying down. She adjusted the seat back, and while doing all of this, she could still feel Adrian staring at her. But she didn't pay any attention to him, quickly adjusted the seat, and then lay down and closed her eyes. If he wanted to buy time, she would just sleep. During this time, Eva could sense that Adrian's gaze was constantly on her face while she had her eyes closed. She could only pretend not to feel anything. At first, when his gaze fell on her, she felt a little uncomfortable. But as drowsiness gradually overtook her, Eva no longer felt anything. After that, she often feels very tired after becoming pregnant and most of the time she doesn't get enough sleep. Not to mention the recent trips to the hospital, which have made her sleep even less. So, it didn't take long for Eva to fall into a deep sleep after lying down. Unbeknownst to Eva, after she fell asleep, Adrian listened to her steady breathing and watched her peaceful sleeping face, his face gradually turning pale. With such an atmosphere, how could she still sleep? But in the end, Adrian couldn't bring himself to wake her up forcefully. As time passed, his gaze became more helpless, and he couldn't help but lightly touch her fair forehead with his fingertips. Is she really asleep? Does she have no feelings? Chapter 140 He's avoiding her. The next day, when Eva woke up, she realized that it was already 8 o'clock in the morning. She glanced at the white ceiling and the familiar surroundings, and then carefully felt the soft bed beneath her. Finally, she confirmed that she was indeed in her own bed at home. After being stunned for a moment, Eva gently touched her head and sat up. She never expected that she would sleep until now. She clearly fell asleep in the car last night, which means that Adrian must have brought her back. She sat there for a while before picking up her phone to check for messages. Adrian didn't leave her any messages, and their chat history remained empty. She thought for a moment and called Adrian while walking into the bathroom to freshen up. The phone rang for a while before he answered. Adrian's voice was clear and cold, "What is it?" Eva had already squeezed toothpaste onto her toothbrush and was about to put it in her mouth when she heard his voice, so she stopped. "I was talking to you about something yesterday, and today we..." Before she could finish speaking, Adrian interrupted her coldly, "I have a very important meeting now, it will probably take 3 hours." She pursed her lips, suppressing her anger, and said, "Can't you postpone the meeting? Can't you spare half an hour?" But Adrian replied directly, "No, the meeting is urgent." If Eva hadn't worked at the Blackwood family business for such a long time, she might have believed him. However, before she could say anything else, Adrian said, "I have to go to the meeting, goodbye," and hung up on her. Listening to the busy tone coming from her phone, Eva stood still, her face speechless. So, yesterday wasn't just her imagination after all. He really doesn't want a divorce? Why doesn't he want a divorce? With these doubts in mind, Eva quickly freshened up, because she didn't do it last night. As she finished getting ready and went downstairs, she saw Margaret in the living room. As soon as she saw her, Margaret immediately walked over. "Eva, you're finally awake." Upon seeing her, Eva remembered that Margaret was supposed to take her to the hospital for an examination today. She had originally planned to discuss it with Adrian last night when she got home, but if Adrian agrees to talk about divorce, she can use the excuse to leave with Adrian today and go to get a divorce certificate. When she comes back, she will be honest with Kim and Margaret about this matter. Then, Kim and Margaret will be so absorbed in the news of their divorce that they won't even think about taking her to get checked. Eva had planned it this way. But who knew that Adrian wouldn't cooperate at all? The emergency meeting was all a lie. She feels like Adrian is intentionally avoiding her now. "Eva, Eva." Margaret's voice rang in her ears, bringing Eva back to reality. "What's wrong? You look completely lost." Margaret looked at her with great concern, holding her hand. "Did you hurt yourself that day? Judging by the way you look, it seems like the checkup today was spot on." "Mom, I don't really want to go for the checkup. Adrian is avoiding her now, and she can't go to City Hall alone. She can only refuse the checkup." But Margaret would never let it go. When Eva said she didn't want to go for the checkup, Margaret immediately frowned, her eyebrows furrowing. "How can you not go for the checkup? When I was just talking to you, you were completely lost. Could it be that those people hurt you somewhere?" Hearing this, Eva could only force a smile. "No, I just hurt my calf that day, nothing else." And it was Julia who kicked her calf. Although Alexander was the one who kidnapped her, he didn't do anything to her. Thinking of him and Julia, Eva became curious about how they were doing now. "By the way, Mom, do you know how those two are doing now?" Margaret shook her head. "I'm not sure, but Michael said he would take care of it. That kid is reliable, so I'm reassured." "And you can rest assured, I heard that little Adrian also paid attention to this matter. He will definitely teach them a lesson. So, Michael is handling this matter now." "Probably." Thinking of this, Eva decided to go see Michael. "Let's go, I've already made an appointment with the doctor. Although it's a bit late today, it's still fine to go see the doctor now." After speaking, Margaret held Eva's hand. Eva really wanted to refuse, but Margaret had already started pulling her towards the exit. Finally, Eva followed Margaret to the entrance of the hospital. Now, Eva's heart was truly nervous. Could she escape today? Margaret was not just anyone. If she found out she was pregnant, she would definitely say something. "Mom, I suddenly remembered that I have something else to do, I..." "Margaret." A surprised female voice came from behind them. This voice. Eva turned her head and gradually stopped the bleeding on her lips when she saw who it was. "Why is it her?" Margaret, originally named Margaret, is considered the plastic sister along with Diana. Diana is jealous of Margaret's excellence and beauty, while Margaret cannot stand Diana's arrogance and stinginess, so they have always been sisters on the surface. All of this is because the Blackwood family and the Robinson family have a cooperation, so everyone needs to save face when attending various occasions. "Diana." Diana took a few steps forward and looked at Margaret in front of her, somewhat surprised. "It's really you. When did you come back? Why didn't you tell me? I could have picked you up at the airport." Upon hearing this, Margaret sneered inwardly, "I knew you were busy, so I didn't want to bother you to pick me up at the airport." "Why would I be busy? Even if I am, I will make time for you." "Oh, next time I come back, I will definitely let you know in advance." "Sure." The two of them exchanged insincere pleasantries as if their relationship was extremely good. After the pleasantries, Diana suddenly noticed that Eva was standing next to them. Seeing Eva, she couldn't help but think of the incident where she saw her daughter in the hospital last time. Her face changed, and she forced a smile, "So Eva is here too? What's going on? What are you doing at the hospital?" As she spoke, Diana's gaze kept examining Eva up and down, finally landing on her belly. Margaret, unaware of Diana's scheming, simply didn't like her and didn't like how she rudely looked at her daughter-in-law, so she directly stood in front of Eva. "Diana, what are you doing at the hospital today?" Upon hearing this, Diana was reminded of the purpose of her visit. A hint of resentment flashed through her eyes. She then looked at Eva, who was being blocked by Margaret, and a hint of resentment appeared in her heart.